This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-Man, the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man, and we're back at it. Yeah, it's been a week. Your boy sounds a bit like this. And it's a bit like, I sound like a DJ from another radio station right now. We're just not going to mention names. But he wishes, you know. But I feel like right now I'm just saying, get more fire. Anyway, it's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man, and we're back at it. We have a dope show for you today. If you follow me on social media, you know exactly who I've got in the studio with me today. But we're gonna get into it. I'm gonna introduce them properly later, and we're gonna get into it. We're gonna talk about everything. And I mean, if you've met this man, you know that we're not gonna hold back on anything. We're gonna chat about pretty much anything. But you know what? That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna introduce my guest in the studio today, and then we're just gonna get into it. I'm gonna speak to him about some of the stuff that's on the news, and then we'll talk about him and it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM, or at CliffCentral.com, or you do know we've got that WhatsApp number. And I've told you guys not to call us on. Don't call me on that number. It's 079-748-2090. I really could be setting more fire right now. I really sound like I could be. But remember as well that we have the phone number. The phone number is 0861-555-189. You know you want to call this guy. You know you want to have a chat. Because he's in the stew. And it's your boy. So, I mean... I remember when I walked into the ad game all those years ago. I mean, let's not mention time specifically here. But when I walked into the ad game all those years ago, this was always one of those people that everyone was just like, dude, you know what? That's like advertising royalty of a certain kind that you're talking about out there. And like, you know, constantly making the stuff that made us all go, damn it, am I doing enough in advertising? You know, like, I feel like all I'm doing is print ads and TV ads, and this guy's been doing print ads, TV ads, and everything else in between. But that's what's going on in the studio today. I've got with me, I'm just gonna make sure that I get everything right here. Don't want to mess this up. I've got in the studio with me. You know him, I know him. Mr. Nathan Reddy, what's going on?
Hello, brother. What's up?
What's up? What's going on, man?
Just like I know, this is such a lively studio. I was all nervous here, and you're coming out so and gun blazing.
No. It all goes down out here. It all goes down. But yeah, man, good to have you in the studio, man.
Yeah, thank you. Wow.
You know, like I want to ask you, you know, what have you been up to? And I think there's a big development that you're going to tell us about. We'll get into that a little later.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are some of the things that are on your desk right now? I mean, what's the cool stuff you're working on right now?
I think, you know, with us in Grid at the moment is, you know, every day is a different day.
Yeah.
In fact, we have a standing joke. Come Friday, we go, damn, what a week. You know, so like, if you had to take those 52 Fridays and put them together, I can guarantee you can probably build an atom bomb.
That's insane, man. That's insane. How many people are at Grid?
At any given time, I think we've got about a full-time staff, about maybe 40 or sometimes 45, and maybe another 30 or 40 kind of freelancers.
Yeah. 30 or 40 kind of freelancing as
well. Yeah, because I think the idea is, you know, we kind of keep a core team, but we kind of always experimenting
with new talent,
with new people, pushing the boundaries. So, and those youngsters come in, they kind of, you know, push us, we push them.
Yeah.
So it's always an evolving model.
That's great, man. That's great. I really, really dig that. Because, I mean, I've been privileged enough to be close to your space in the past couple of months. And there's almost always an energy that comes out of there. It's almost, it also is like, guys, what the hell are they building in there with all that energy? But is that something that's important to you, to constantly have that energy?
I think, you know, the thing about grid and grid and culture is the fact that we thrive on culture.
Yeah.
We thrive on, you know, understanding how culture works in terms of how people buy things, how people
consume things.
What are people listening to? What are people kind of not doing? What are people doing?
Yeah.
So it's very important that we have that kind of first-hand information in terms of how things are happening.
That's
so that culture in terms of has to resonate in the actual office.
That's
so we need that kind of people. We need new, fresh kind of blood. We need kind of fresh talent always walking in, walking out. So that keeps the thing alive.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, we're going to talk about like the other major development later, because it obviously means that gets to get turned up a little bit more as well.
Yeah, no, I, you know, again, you know, we have such an interesting country. And the idea is, you know, everyone's talking about so much of, you know, there's negativity, but there's so much of positivity in terms of just look around you, what's happening. And I think people kind of concentrate too much on the negativity.
On the other shit.
On the shit.
Yeah.
The idea is that if you just look around, the youngsters in this town are damn
dope,
man.
Man.
Some crazy
shit.
No,
I agree with that entirely. Shout out to all the young people in this town, y'all. Yeah, that's going on. That's going on. But yeah, speaking of which, you know, I think this past weekend, you know, we can't go. I'm not sure about advertising and branding, but we can't not talk about Philip by Casper on your vest. You know, like it was like one of those things that for me, like I'll be straight up. I don't particularly like the man's music, right? I think that he, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but I always thought that he has a very loose relationship with rhyming. You know, for a rapper. So I'm just like, you know what, he's not my kind of my cup of tea when it comes from a music perspective. But you have to applaud the man's balls.
Yeah.
You have to kind of go, oh my fuck, you know, and all of us are talking about
but
it.
But I think the idea of South Africa again, it's okay, if you look at the origination of greatness, okay, you gotta appreciate everyone's talent.
That's right.
And that's what makes us such a rich culture of people. So our music genres are so diverse, you know what I mean? And that's what makes it interesting. We talk about advertising, we talk about architecture, we talk about food, we talk about aspects of everything in our culture is a mixture of some great talent.
I agree with that because when I also realized that, like, that his whole show was not just necessarily him. He had put a whole bunch of other people on the platform, and the thing was, like, it was a huge explosion, and like it made people feel good about themselves, made everyone feel good about South Africa, and you can't help but commend the man. So huge shout out to Casper on your vest. Yes, what's going on?
Huge
shout out Casper, because I think that that's the way, you know what I mean, that's the way to do stuff. Wait, what have I done here? I've done something. Aha, there you go. Yeah, Casper, that's right. But yeah, man. But there was something interesting that happened last week. Well, in the lead up to the concert, because you know the whole thing is Philip FNP, right? And the guys from Standard Bank just saw the gap, right? And there was a whole thing about like.
Anyway. you can say it. You can say it. It's cool.
But the guys from Standard Bank saw the gap, you know, and they kind of got onto Casper's next, you know, to carry on a campaign that was conceptualized by some really good people at some point, and I found it was interesting how that whole thing plays out. And you know, we don't have like direct competitive advertising in South Africa, but how do you think that kind of augurs for our game? You know, like we can tread so close to the bone.
Yeah, you know, the thing is in South Africa is that, okay, firstly, I think we are quite a tenacious nation of people, right?
Yeah.
So we always kind of break rules or we kind of bend rules.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I think that's what's cool about us. And the fact is that we may not have competitive advertising, but I think we're quite competitive as people.
As people, that's
right. So, you know, when brands take the bravery of trying to be competitive and it's a kind of direct benefit to the audience.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Then they get rewarded.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
that's what's brave about South Africa. People say, you know, South Africa, but if you look at the world advertising or the communications in the world, you know, we punch way above everybody else.
That's right.
If you look at our spend versus our what we win internationally, we're number one.
That makes sense.
I mean, if you look at our music, you look at our some of our actors coming out of here, you look at the talent out of this country, you got to go, where does all that raw material come from?
Yeah.
It comes from our daily lives, you know, it comes from what we see around us. People need to appreciate that shit.
I fucking love that entirely. I fucking love that too much. That's with the Nathan Ready, guys. I told you what kind of show it's going to be today. And I'm really, really happy to have him in the studio today. So here's another thing that happens around this time in our advertising. A lot of alcohol advertising happens now.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's what happens around this time in this country, right? But I mean, and I pretend it's only around this time in this country. Look, we have a culture. We're a festive people.
When we sad, we dance. When we're happy, we dance.
You know what I mean? We just mustn't put it in the adverts. Anyway, so I've always been baffled by this entire thing, right? That why is it that, especially like expensive alcohol, why is it that all that, they always use the metaphor of success? You know, like, it's always like if you're going to be a whiskey, it must be a black guy and his black friends walking into a new bar they've just opened, or a black guy and his black friends, he's just made it above all of them. You know what I mean? Like, I just be like, is that the right metaphor that we should all, like, we all seem to default to that for expensive alcohol?
Do you know, funny enough, you say that there, like in England today, they kind of ban stereotyping.
Yeah.
Right, so if you think a woman should be in a kitchen and you do that shit there, you ain't gonna go on air.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
so
okay,
so I think, you know, I think we're coming around that kind of stuff. I think, you know, again, advertisers are quite opportunist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They kinda go, we know our audience, we know how they behave, we know how they act.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a deliberate kind of thing in terms of being stereotyping.
Yeah.
You know, hardly you'll see a white guy kind of, you know, joining a whole lot of friends and opening a big bottle of fucking Johnny Black or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's not about the idea of, you know, why are you being stereotyping? It's just like advertisers are using people they believe that kind of drink their stuff.
I guess so, but for me, I just feel like, you know, I mean, I've seen one or two people drinking whiskey in my time, you know. one or two. But it's not necessarily always because they've just come from closing a big deal. You know what I mean? And I understand that, you know, there's the aspiration part of it and all that. But like, you know, it would also be nice sometimes to just see, you know, like, and also on the flip side of that, last week I was the one who said, guys, not everything is a documentary about our lives. You know what I mean? Not everything should be like so real that I feel like I see myself. But guys, I'm sure not everyone should be seeing whiskey as, you know, the guy who's made it straight.
Yeah, you know, I think again, you see, those are stereotyping.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think in South Africa today, you know, you use a few black guys and one or two Indians and white guys in there.
Yeah.
You're kind of covering this racial status quo, you know.
Tang,
you know what I mean? So I think the real stories are beginning to come out.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the safe route presently is like, you know, that's a safe route.
Yeah.
But you know, the audience is seeing right through the shit.
Yo.
You know, and they're like, oh God, for God's sake, man. You know, and some of those black guys, they got an all-American dude. You know, so it's like, you know, you got to get it kind of, you know, authenticness is like, it's quite a deep thing to understand and get that real story out.
And someone is obviously just not concentrating. But anyway, good luck to all you guys out there. But I mean, I know that by now all the ads are done. You know, if you haven't made your alcohol ad by now, you're in shit. But we're going to see it in January.
There's no space, airtime for it.
Yeah, exactly. So we're good. But yeah, man, I think it's really cool. I mean, do you find that it's something that you have dealt with a lot in your career, having to walk a client back from a stereotype? You know, because it almost feels like it's the obvious place to go. Right?
You know, the thing about clients is, okay, it depends on the strength of the client and it depends on the kind of bravery of the agency. But agencies today, you know, a lot of them are kind of conforms to, you know, research, strategy, and then the client has kind of go and do micro research, all kinds of stuff.
Yes,
idea here of creating magical work, right? Magical work doesn't need, sometimes it's good intuition, good authentic understanding of people.
I fucking love
right?
it.
And then the idea is, you know, say it in a way that people go, damn, I can remember, I love that shit. Right?
Yeah.
But when it's a kind of, as you said, you know, stereotyping, writing a script where everyone, you tick the boxes, but you don't actually move the mind.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem.
I agree completely. And obviously, I mean, and it's something that's come up a few times on the show as well. The idea of, you know, how the industry has become so obsessed with data, right? And that literally sucks the magic out of everything. It pulls the love and the colors out of everything because you're ticking boxes because of what the doctors say.
And the funny thing is, you know, people today, you know, we say we've got less kind of attention span than a goldfish, right?
Yeah.
Like, goldfish is about 8 seconds. We are about 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're deteriorating. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea in terms of trying to get your audience,
yeah,
and in terms of authentic space and speaking to them where they go, you're not selling stuff to them.
That's right.
Rather,
that's right.
You're making them feel.
Yeah.
Right. When you get the feel button going,
yeah,
okay, that's authentic.
Yeah.
Then you're basically telling a good story.
That's right. Absolutely. So, absolutely. And you know what? For me, that feels like it. Yeah. For me, it feels like it's the fail-proof way of making stuff, of communicating in any way, making people feel a certain way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, so I'll give you a good example, right? This is a very good example.
Yeah.
So your typical advertising agency or whatever has a big idea.
Yeah.
The big idea is, say we're selling Volvo,
yeah,
right? We're going to sell safety,
yeah,
right? So we're going to make everyone realize safety, safety, safety.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of looking at safety that don't tell me about safety again.
Yeah.
But the new audience is a very different type of audience.
That's right.
The audience is tired of you throwing shit down their throat.
Yeah.
What they want you to do is, there's four things we have,
yeah,
at Grid. We kind of made our model around. You inspire me.
Yeah.
You inform me. You entertain me. And damn, make it beautiful.
Boom. Okay. Boom. See, I can live like that. I can live like that. See, let's go.
So, but the thing is, you go like this. You go, I'll give you an example. So Victoria's Secret, typical advertiser around,
yeah,
the world. But 10 years ago, they had a massive ad budget putting up typical billboards,
yeah,
and things like,
yeah,
that. They realize they ain't working. Okay.
Yeah.
Move forward for a few years, they now have one massive show, right?
Yes.
Which is the Angel Show, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, that's a 365 campaign. Before the show, after the show, and during the show.
Right.
And everyone's waiting for the content.
Ah,
so
right,
it's what's the
right,
blobs,
right,
and
right,
shit,
right,
behind the scenes. What's the bitching between models?
Yeah.
All that stuff creates, yeah, authentic content. Right. And guess what?
So good.
Half the revenue spent, three times the kind of exposure.
Shit.
Right. So you got to go to people,
yeah,
are tired of putting a billboard said buy me,
yeah,
okay.
And you know Nathan, and it's another thing that we keep talking about here, like how it feels like, you know, in a space where people talk about like recession and whatever,
yeah,
that's the time when people feel like they should be shouting at people, right? And everyone feels like now they're going, you become so desperate that you're shouting that the only way actually is to make your audience feel the thing
completely,
you know what I mean, and involve them in the thing, as opposed to going, yeah.
I mean,
right,
you look around, okay, you go, we,
yeah,
live in a smarty box,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so every brand thinks they're the most important brand,
yeah,
meanwhile guess what, you actually not even seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So don't think you could put a billboard and you're going to suddenly, people are going to see you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People need to feel you in their lives. They,
yeah,
need to feel a certain usage. They need to feel a certain information from,
that's
you.
That's right.
And then they go, you got relevance. I like,
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to engage you. So here's two bottles on the shelf. I'm definitely going to take you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Because you've done something for me.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Guys, I told you guys, it's all going to go down in the studio today. I got Mr. Nathan Reddy in the studio with me today. Send me a comment and your questions for him on my Twitter page at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter. And let's get chatting. But I do think that, you know, it's funny you actually should say that, because I feel, you know, the old way that advertising,
yeah,
well, I don't actually call it the old way.
Yeah.
There was a way in advertising where there was always like the lead agency and those kinds of things. I mean, we've all seen them dissipate and change shape, like, yeah, over the years, right? So I read this morning that Discovery,
yeah,
the brand, has appointed Metropolitan Republic as, yeah, their agency. So huge shout out to the homies at Metropolitan Republic. good work.
Okay.
But they also tell a story of how that came along. That Discovery always had dealt with a whole bunch of different agencies,
yeah,
and they got a chance to pitch on one piece of it, and then they won that. And just because of the relationship and they got together, and now they gave them like the whole piece of,
yeah,
business. Now, do you think that it's still important to kind of house all, like, your entire account in one agency? You know, because they kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, that point of view. Actually, sometimes it's a safe route to go less admin, you know,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah,
let's put everything in one, all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
The thing is that the world is changing at a ridiculous pace.
Yeah.
Right? So your typical so-called, you know, full service agency,
yeah,
needs to redefine its model.
That's right.
Right? So I need a group of specialists,
yeah,
that create a full service agency.
Yeah.
So it's not about an agency just trying to be specialists.
Yeah.
It's an agency made up of specialists.
Ah, right.
That's
what you mean.
So,
that's what you mean.
You know, that's what we're doing at the moment. We gotta go, we have the best of what we called, you know, experience design.
Yeah.
We have the best,
yeah,
of, say, the advertising world. We have the best of design world.
Yeah.
We have the best of PR world. We have the best of social media. The idea is that you don't go put things in boxes.
Yeah.
What you do is you go, here's an idea. tell me how this works across everything.
Right.
And again, I think a good agency, you know, I'm not knocking any of the agencies. Yeah, I'm saying if those agencies have got the best of breed in terms of discipline that can work across the board, don't say like, you know, because when my mom sees a piece of work, she doesn't go, oh, that's a lovely Doric male piece.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. She says, I like FNB.
That's right.
She doesn't say, I like this or that.
Yeah.
So when you are a conductor of a so-called specialist group of agencies, you got to look at how people like the brand.
That's right.
They don't go, that's a beautiful digital piece.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
People experience the entire brand.
The entire brand.
Yeah. That's insane. So good luck to the guys at Metropolitan Republic, because I think that, you know, it for me, that debate is constantly changing, because sometimes you're going, guys, I need to centralize the stuff, do it from one place, but I need dope people in that one agency.
Okay.
And then some people think, you know what, maybe it's important for me to have different perspectives, even though there's one lead agency. You know, like kind of go, I know where the big idea is sometimes going to come from, but I also know that it's not always going to come from that place. You know, and so these things are always evolving, and I think that we constantly need to start changing the way we box in order to keep up.
Yeah, I see, the thing is that I said to you about young talent, raw talent.
Yeah.
You know, we have a generational understanding of new people coming into the marketplace that think completely different.
Yeah.
You know, my agency, I can tell you I have about 5 or 6 generational people.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the earliest adopters are the ones that are coming in and changing the game.
That's right.
You know,
they see
things 5 times faster than we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get scared by it, but you go, damn, I like that shit. But the idea is, are you willing to kind of change and understand how those minds are working?
That's crazy shit. And you know what? That's cool. Because I mean, you know what? I think let's actually get into it. I want to get into, you know, this exciting new space that you're in right now. And you know what? But that's the thing. Like I said about your energy. I get the feeling this is not necessarily very new, because this dope energy, like, it's something that you guys have already exuded for a very long time. When it comes to design work in this country, on the planet even, your guys' names always comes up. So you guys are about to embark on a new journey.
Yeah.
Right? What is it? Tell me about it. Let me tell you something.
Okay, so again, you know, as I said, you know, the idea is every time we feel we get a bit comfortable, we go, this is bullshit. We got to move on from this, okay?
Okay,
and I think, you know, Grid Ilovo and Grid, you know, we've been Grid Worldwide for a while now.
Yeah.
And we've done some interesting stuff internationally. We've done some amazing stuff locally. But I think the restlessness in us makes us always change.
Right.
And I think that's the kind of recipe that Grid has. It's like we are not satisfied. The idea is restlessness brings about the change.
Yeah.
The change brings about, it's exactly what culture is about.
Absolutely.
Doesn't stop at one place. And I was talking to you earlier on, in terms of, you know, the idea of musicians and people in this country, that we are constantly changing and using the recipes from each other to create new stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, South Africa's got such rich talent, you know, such rich kind of content. The idea is, you must be a fool not to be doing great work in
that's
country.
Right, that's right.
Okay, so what we're doing at the moment, we're opening another space in the TBWA building.
Okay.
And it's called Gene Culture. So it's still Grid, but it's how Grid plays in culture.
Ah, okay? What's called Gene Culture.
Gene Culture. So the idea is, you know, at our place, we always worked out that the fact is, if you're in the kind of, in the head of culture or with culture, you can actually see and foresee the changes.
Right.
So in terms of communication, music, art, you know, food, how people socialize, what the new tribes are all about.
Yeah.
You've got to be in it to do it. Okay.
That's right.
Suddenly remote control something you don't understand.
Yeah.
So we created a space called Gene Culture, which we're launching tonight.
That's what's up.
And that's basically, I hope you're going to be there.
Yeah. Right? Definitely going to be there.
So I think what that is going to be, a proper experimentation.
Okay.
Experimentation of new talent, plugging in, play.
Yeah.
You know, the entire thing revolves around a bar. Okay. So it's a conversation piece, but the idea is, people are far more relaxed when they're in a specific environment.
Yeah.
The free flow of ideas, the free flow of brainstorming.
Yeah.
You know, taking your inhibitions and throwing them aside and coming up with ideas, and it's a round table kind of vibe. You
that
know?
Is so
you
cool,
come,
man.
You plug in, you play.
Yeah.
And we say, listen, how we get a little bit of information from there.
Yeah.
And then you'll change the landscape of what is communication.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
You know, it's exciting period. And again, we're scared, but I think when you're scared, it's when you progress.
That's right. Okay. Oh man, I love that so much, because it's also one of those things that I think, you know, with
like when you think you found a formula, it's very easy to kind of go, I'm going to stay with this formula because it's working for a while. And it's very easy to exhaust that because you just got comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, there are examples for everyone out there to actually think about, right?
Yeah.
Why are we so kind of adaptable to what's happening in fashion?
Right. Right? Yes.
Fashion is far more the most cutting edge in terms, like you saw what Gucci and Prada and all these mad luxury brands are doing with their brand.
Yeah.
They're moving it into street.
Then they go,
if they don't do certain things like that, they lose their audience.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good enough examples to tell you if those guys are so kind of successful of doing something and they're willing to radically push their boundaries,
why are we just chilling out? Exactly. Yeah. That is so dope, man. But I mean I also know, Nathan, you have a passion for creating spaces. You know, and I think right now, probably one of the most iconic spaces that everyone can't stop talking about is the space at Marble.
Yeah.
Right. and I know you were integral in that process. Walk us through that process. What did it take to kind of arrive at creating a thing that dope?
I think you know creativity is like a blank piece of paper. Okay. And you need the client to be brave, and you need just the client to believe in you.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, we have a great client in Gary and Irene and David. They're both fantastic people, and they have a vision.
Yeah.
You know, the vision is not to just do something and again tick the boxes.
Yeah.
Like the idea was, you know, Gary came to me and says, "Listen, Nathan, we are meat eating people in this country.
Yeah.
Right. People come here. All we have is like the butcher shop, and we have like steak ranchers. We don't have this. Damn, guys. What the hell?
Yeah.
That was a brief.
That's
you know?
Great, man.
So when you have a client giving you that kind of brief, you know, again, you know, our process at Grid is not to come up with a cool name and get some nice interior stuff happening. I think it's all about, again, what's the idea?
Yeah.
Right? You know, marble is about the marbling in meat.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
But
yes,
it's also
yes.
about luxury. It tells you marble stone.
Yeah.
So all those things go into connotation in terms of going, people want to be in a space, and it's not about rich and poor.
Yeah.
They want to be in a space where they feel, oh my God, I'm in South Africa.
Yeah.
This is all made in the country over here. Yeah. I can be world class.
Yeah.
I can have the best food, the best design. I can have the best perfume smell.
Yeah.
And get what? Damn, we can do this shit.
Yeah.
So to me, it's always about the fact that, you know, we punch way above our weight.
Yeah.
We must understand the new economy of this country is entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Right? So if they believe in themselves and they believe we can be better than anyone in the world.
Yeah.
Those are not just spaces. It's a mentality.
That's great,
it's a mentality,
man.
For
so
South
cool.
Africans to feel that they can do anything. And I believe, I watch young people talk in this country.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. They're ready, my friend.
That's
they're
right.
ready to take on anybody.
That's so cool, man. That's so cool. I love that. Because, you know, like I always say as well, right, that, you know, advertising, communication, branding has a responsibility to make people feel a certain way about themselves. You know, and that's why I think a lot of people, like, kind of go, guys, why do you get so irritated by black people dancing in adverts? And I'm like, you know why? Because we actually have a responsibility to make ourselves see ourselves as a bit more than that, right? And I think that's exactly what you're getting at now.
Yeah.
It's like, with everything that we do in every single way that we do that stuff, we have a responsibility and an opportunity to kind of make people feel, damn it, I'm in a world-class city doing world-class things, and I could be that world-class.
Yeah, and you know, again, you talked about stereotyping early on.
Yeah.
And I think when we get into the deep psychology of our youth and our individuals, who we are as people, we'll be creating better communication.
Yeah.
Right? And the communications is that, you're right, you know, I do think, you know, the whole thing of this transformation of the industry, you know, to me, you know, I've always been about the transformation. I mean, we've started lots of things called Think, and, you know, it's all part of that. It's natural, you know, when you make it natural part of your DNA and part of your culture, you know, you're bringing all types of people to make sure you equip them with stuff.
That's right.
And then you get to the crux of what an idea or solution is.
Yeah.
You know, if you talk to a young guy and tell him, what are your aspirations? What do you think of world? What do you think you should do? You know, it's so far-fetched from what some of the stereotyping shit is all about. You know, and that's what I think is the most refreshing thing in this country. Allow the freedom for youngsters to come in and let them educate you.
That's right. I think that's so cool, man. I love that. I love that so much, Nathan, man. And you know what? Like, at this point, I actually like to go, you know what? I love the inspiring stories of the man that sits in front of me right now. But I'm always also intrigued. Like, where does it start for someone like you? You know what I mean? So, where, at what point did you kind of go, you know what? I think I'm going to change the world in this way.
I'll give you a little. So, funny enough, like, so I've never had a dad. So, my mom brought me up. And you know, my mom.
Shout out to all the moms out there, y'all. Yeah. What's going on?
So she was a single mother. So and I was the only son out of three girls.
Yeah.
And you know, I always found myself being the man of the house.
Yeah.
So at the early age, I remember hitting a few neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, interfering with my sisters. So I always had this kind of, you know, heavy weight on my shoulders that I had to make something of myself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I read a book in 2008, The Fountainhead,
yep,
by Ayn Rand. And that book kind of inspired me because I always knew I was creative, but I kind of, you know, in the old ways, like, you have to go to university.
Yeah.
You got to, I mean, like, how do you do the creative stuff in university? You know, like, so I had this huge conflict of
thought. Also, what does it mean?
What does it mean? And how can I change the world by being creative?
Yeah.
You know, like, in those days, I was like, I can't do it. So after I read The Fountainhead, and The Fountainhead, the main character is Howard Roark, and he's an architect, but his philosophy of changing the world. So architecture was the closest thing to creative.
Right.
Kind of got engineering and it's got science to it. So kind of my mum was like,
and
happy.
And it makes parents fine.
They made them feel happy about this, right? So I was like, okay, I'm the architecture. And then one day I went to my friend, his name is Cornelius, and he was going to Natal Tech.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was called ML Salt.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, Nathan, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to sign
up. It was Connie.
Connie, yeah.
Connie Powers.
Connie Powers.
Yeah.
You know Connie Powers. Yeah,
he's my boy. You shout out Connie. What's going on? Yeah.
So he was, I should take a bus with him, and he would say, listen, you got to come. We're having open day in ML Salton for design.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean design?
Yeah.
What is design, dude?
What is design?
Like jewelry design? What the hell is design? He says, no, it's graphic design, it's textile design, it's fashion design.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you can study for that stuff?
Yeah.
He says, come check it out. So I went and checked it out to him, and there was a long line for graphic design, a long line for fashion and for textile. So I said to him, what is graphic design?
Yeah.
So I went to the library, read up like a graphic design, got back in the line, and joined the graphic design line.
Yeah.
I don't remember, it was like 400 kids in the graphic design line.
Yeah.
And I had like the whole day in the sun waiting there. I got to the middle. So I had to go upstairs. I had an interview about 8 people.
Yeah.
They said, come next day. Out of the 400, if 60 names are on the board, you got a space.
You're kidding.
So I got there, and then I checked my name. I was like, damn. Yeah, here we go. The next big hurdle was to tell my mother, I'm studying graphic design. She's like, I'm going to sell bananas on the beach. So I studied it, and I think the first year, I remember my teacher says, because we had like 6 failures in our class, they even tell you, look at the person on the right, look at the person on the left, they're not going to be
there. They're probably not going to be it.
So, I mean, and there was 6 or 7 failures in our class, and the idea was, they were like printing these, they had a first project was do a logo for an aquarium, I remember.
Okay.
So these guys came with this pristine, beautiful damn stuff.
Yeah.
I had like this kind of trace paper with this gouache, and it looked like, it looks like the Mgeni River.
It's amazing.
And then she's like, squashed the ship and said, my brother. I said, this is not going to work out to me.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't always this smooth for Nathan Reddy.
Not at all.
So what happens after that?
So after that, obviously, you know, like I remember buying I used to be a waiter, so a pint of gouache was like $35.
Yeah.
I mean, talking 20 somewhat years ago.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
I was out to waiter the whole 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, at the Burger King. There was a Burger King in Queen Street.
Oh, is it?
And R35 was a tips for the whole 2 days.
Yeah.
That was one tube of paint.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, you know, I said, I got to get my act together here.
Yeah.
So, like, this was 18, 19 hours of practicing. And then, you know, come the first year, I kind of just made it through.
Yeah.
Second year, like, I was really, like, mad. And third year, like, I topped that class. And then,
get out of here.
Then I came to Johannesburg. I remember I went to Cape Town first.
Yeah.
I took my big portfolio in a taxi, a big taxi.
Yeah.
The taxi driver was, you'd have to bring that bloody board into my taxi.
Kids today with their USBs will never know what it's like to carry a portfolio bag.
Exactly. So anyway, I come to Joburg, and, you know, for 3 months I was here, and I didn't get a job. It's like, I thought I'd walk in and get a job.
Yeah.
And this industry was, I mean, you know, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
Like any non-white people were actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So I went to a few interviews, and I remember the 3 months, like, my money is running shy.
Yeah.
And then almost the third month, I got an interview, and I see Mr. Ian Becker at FCB.
Yeah. And what's up?
Shout out to my man, Ian.
Yeah, shout out FCB and Ian Becker.
And then I go and I see him, and he says to me, listen, you must come for your date of appointment.
Yeah.
So I leave him and go, and I go to see another guy at Y&R, his name is Peter Sunshine. So he says to me, you also must come for your date of appointment. So I said,
what are you talking about?
The guy that already gave me a date of appointment. So he says, you got a job. I said, no, you didn't give me a job.
Yeah.
He says, but... He said, you let him appointment. I said, yeah. I said, what's the letter of appointment? He says, you got a job. He said, why did you phone that guy and see if you got the job? So I phone him. He says to me, I said, Ian, do you have a job? He says,
That's what a letter appointment means.
I said, damn. So the day I had those two jobs, he says, choose one, and I chose FCB.
That's fucking insane. I didn't know that. Yeah. Is there anyone who didn't work at FCB? It feels like everyone worked at FCB.
Yeah, everybody worked. Yeah. I mean, Lindsay Smithers was the agency on Stanton.
Yeah.
The 19th floor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no buildings around Stanton. There was this one lonely building. So, yeah, and then from there, you know, that's how I basically started. Then I went, and then I don't know, Hunter's Car has called me.
Yeah.
And I started my...
How long was that after you had started?
So I started, I was in 3 years in FCB, and to all the youth out there and everyone actually trying to get in a career, please stick at a place, learn everything.
Because you're right. What seems to have been, I remember when I was starting, it almost felt like it made sense to move around. You know what I mean? Everyone was just like, yo, bro, I mean, you're going to be at that place for 5 years. That's like ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think the best thing for any guy, anyone, if you find a good place,
and you
got a lot of mentors around you, it feels like they're a great culture, stick around, you know, learn as much as you can.
I mean, it's my story. I was at FCB for 11 and a half years.
11
and a half years.
Brother, that's no sense. I hope they gave you a watch.
I think I was about 6 months shy of a watch.
I'll speak to Brett. I'll say, he still owes you a watch.
Mr. Maurice, if you're listening, Nathan will be calling you about a watch.
Please, apparently he likes Bell and Ross.
But yeah, but like, absolutely. I mean, it seems completely unheard of for anyone to be at one agency for that long, because, and it's for that very reason. I felt like I was mentored enough. I was taken care of, and like everything seemed like it was happening. Yeah. So the trend of moving did make sense to
me. I think, you know, again, I'm just gonna say it brutally.
Yeah.
If you're black talent in this town of yours,
you
know, there are always people trying to poach you.
If
you're good, all right. Yeah. But if you can stay 11 years in a place, that shows serious commitment.
That's right.
And I think, you know, to anyone out there,
don't
worry about anyone. Mm-mm. If you feel that you're learning the best,
okay,
stick.
That's right.
Okay.
I think that is just critical stuff. So now hold on. So now TVWA calls you up.
Yeah.
Right.
So I remember I went to TVWA for one. I stayed there and then I met Louis Gavin.
Yeah.
And Ryan Kaywood and Clinton Bridgeford.
That's what's up.
And the boys.
Shout out all them cats.
And those cats, they were working on the ANC's first election. Louis Gavin wrote the inauguration speech, and Clinton and Brian, all of them. I remember the Better Life for All came from the
speaker
of AMC.
Yeah.
So the idea is when we did our first campaign when I started there.
That's
so
insane.
And I remember we had the craziest bunch of people at AMC. I mean, Clinton out there, I'm sure you know that. Give us some crazy stories. But it was probably the agency that won the most amount of awards because we did everything.
That's right. Yeah.
And we had some crazy eclectic people.
Yeah.
I remember one year, you know, it was then we started Gavin Ready.
Yeah.
Okay. We wanted to start our own agency and became TVWA Gavin Ready.
Right.
TVWA was the most dopest agency in the country.
I remember that. That was a time when people were willing to pay them to work there.
Oh, it was insane. Yeah. I mean, we had Damien there. We had all the great. Even Chris Cotts was there.
Yeah.
We had insane people.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about agencies was that we never put things in boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember one year at Lurie's. I think Lurie's has never seen an agency with so much
money
in one evening. It's still the record, actually.
Yeah. Was it still at Sun City when everyone was winning everything?
Everything. Yeah. You know? So, and then obviously, you know, we were Gavin Ready. And then about 12 years on Gavin Ready, I decided to start my own agency called Grid.
Yeah.
For now, Grid's been going for another 12 years.
That's insane, man.
And again, it's always been an evolving, changing way. And, you know, the landscape for me in this country, I've got such an amazing snapshot of it.
Yeah, that's great, man.
I write this Betty book about it.
I think that'd be amazing. That'd be really, really cool.
But I'm still very positive of the country. I'm positive of its people. You know, every day I challenge this stuff myself.
And I
don't want South Africans to give up.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, it's quite interesting. Now, we're doing an amazing commercial and you'll see it. We're using coffee and Thrifty Ground.
So that's dope.
New Eddie Grant song. Give me
what? Yeah. That's insane shit.
We're gonna see this thing happening quite soon, and it's just wait for it.
That's fantastic.
I can't tell you too much.
But Nathan, as you listen to your story, it feels like you've touched some of South Africa's like most iconic campaigns and iconic pieces of work as well. Yeah. I mean, I know recently you guys did a campaign for the Kruger Rand.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and I mean that stuff looked amazing. I mean, and like how does it, like I said, I mean, you go from being the guy who's about to make a TV ad with these people, and then kind of going, I'm just gonna rebrand the Kruger Rand.
You see, I think, you know, again, first, to me, if I go back to You know, sometimes I drive from my home and I look at the brands around me. I'm like, oh my God, we did that one, that one.
Yeah.
That one. But you know, the pride to me is like, you know, when I go overseas and I see all these great brands, whatever, I don't want us to come to South Africa and feel like, oh, kind of, please help us kind of shit.
Yeah.
So to me, it's always been the top agenda is to create iconic brands.
That's okay? Right. That's
so
right.
If you look at the brands we've created MTN, we've created Telkom, we've created FNB.
Yeah.
You know,
these are the iconic, the great design work for Virgin Mobile at some point, right?
We did Virgin Mobile in the country. So again, you know, people have a perception about who we are as a nation. To me, one of my personal agendas, when we did our design, the airports and the airport navigation and the system for the airport, and we designed Brand South Africa.
Listen to how nonchalantly this man talks about he designed the airport, the directions for the airport. I mean, that's a big deal, man.
Yeah, you see, to me, again, you know, the airport's like a kind of, you know, the front door to a country.
That's right.
Right? So, you know, if you come to our airport, I can guarantee you, have you ever been to JFK? JFK versus ORT.
Yeah.
ORT kicks its ass.
Yeah, completely.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but people don't get that. They think we've got animals walking around.
Yeah.
But the fact is, those are the sophistication of our nation. Right?
That's great.
We've had great architecture. We've got great designers. We've got great people doing great stuff. And to me, when I want to be proud of our nation, I look at all those pieces.
Yeah.
Okay. So when our brand looks great, people go, oh, you know what? No one died out of advertising. Let me tell you something. If a brand is doing well, you have a livelihood, you have people buying, and guess what? People die if it's good.
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely. So, it is a matter of life and death.
Absolutely.
It absolutely is a matter
of
life and death.
The idea of consumerization is life and death.
Yeah.
That's what we work for.
That's right.
So we compete. So I like our brands compete. We got the best banks in the world. We have the best telecommunications in the world, right? And they're all competing with each other because they're so good.
I love that.
Right?
I love that so
much.
One
minute multiplying the whole people, rising its prices. We've got a good competitions commission.
That's
great.
We've
got great brands. And the idea is that, you know, South Africa is one of those countries that is such an anomaly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's what people, they don't know.
Exactly.
That's also a nice place to be, because the fact is that, you know, I was listening to Trevor Noah the other day, you know, just talking. You know, when you listen to the guy after living in the States for 2 years and coming here, he says, what is wrong with you guys?
Yeah, exactly.
And you complain so much. You
know? Oh, man, that's insane. Nathan Reddy's in the studio. Like I said, give me a shout out on Twitter. It's @Blaxem. It's @BLAXEM. If you have any comments or any questions for the man. But now, you know, the transformation conversation always comes up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and like you know, like you said in the beginning of your story with industry, that you know that ball didn't even exist when I was trying to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
At that time, the ball didn't even exist. How is it that you think then, Nathan, that we can make this so second nature that we actually can stop talking about it at some point?
Again, okay. So I do think so. There's a few elements of right at play at any given time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So firstly, when I first came to the industry, you know, if you look at the population, like nobody in my kind of in my era want to even knew about advertising
exactly
design,
right
it's like it's a thing that you go, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah.
So there's aspect from a schooling point of view.
I was asked if I'm going to be acting in adverts.
So that there's that aspect. Then there is like culturally we go, we wouldn't put our kids there.
Yeah.
That's the one part.
Yes.
So we need to start at the levels of school introducing the creative industries, because the creative industries is not just advertising.
No.
It's the creative industries.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a big thing between what is the creative economy,
yeah,
right? And how that can be thought in terms of school,
yeah,
right? How do parents get educated in terms of there's a real reason that certain kids can do certain things?
That's right. That's right.
So there's a lot of those kind of hurdles we have to get over.
Yeah.
But in terms of the industry itself, right, I do believe there's some agencies who are just stuck on their ways of doing certain things and never going to change.
Yeah.
But I think most of the agencies I know, I mean, you know, our thing, transformation, our agencies is top of mind.
That's right.
You know, we look at it. I bring in kids all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do it from a kind of, just from a, you know, from a shown kind of
point. Yes. Like I absolutely have to do
like
it.
I'd like to teach a certain amount of kids a certain kind of skill and then get the best in for certain other things.
That's right.
Okay. And then, you know, to me, it has to be natural. Right?
Yeah.
If I put, like, if I had to go, I don't have a big business, right?
Yeah.
If I had a massive business, it would be a different story. So if I have like 70 people, I got to look at, firstly, the profitability of it.
Yeah.
I got to look at the training aspect. I got to look at my CSI, what I do.
Yeah.
I got to look at many things in this country to make sure we have a balance.
That's right.
But I also don't want to just like stereotype some people.
Yeah.
I want to teach the best, okay?
Okay.
And I think, you know, if you look at the kids we've put through for the last 20 years,
yeah,
I'm still friends with all of them. I listen to what they're doing. I listen to all the crazy stories.
Yeah.
But I do believe it's a mentality that everyone needs to have.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's an ingrained thing. You need to freely give.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to give your time. You need to give off your energy. You need to give off your yeah. work. You know, to me, I believe the sharing economy.
Yeah.
So teach people how to do things amazingly.
And I agree with you entirely, Nathan, because I there's another thing that always bothers me is that, like, I think that there's a whole bunch of these kids who come out of the schools and they arrive in advertising and they're there for like the first 6 months and then they go, this shit is fucked up. I'm not going to be a part of this.
Exactly.
Because nobody has spent the time doing that, what you're talking about now.
Completely.
Yeah.
So it's from an education point of view, you know, it's quite threatening.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was in college, right? Just saying to you, like, I was like, damn, I don't even think I'm cut out for this.
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to make money out of this?
Yeah.
Thing, right? So there's a lot of these factors. And, you know, I just do believe that the whole education system initially needs to be fixed up.
That's
okay?
right. That's right.
So where does creative...
Yeah, we got all those, the bad news you got yesterday about us coming last.
I mean,
that's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So, you know, we've got all these hurdles to cross over. The industry is getting it in nuts right now.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, you know, you got to find out what is the aspirational thing about actually getting into this industry.
You know what? And you know what? You touch on a very important thing. The aspiration of it. The love for it again. You know, I remember when I got into the game, I was like, damn it. I can't believe I get to work on all this stuff.
Completely.
I can't believe I work here. And I feel like some of it has been eroded by some of the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think that the good outweighs the bullshit.
Completely.
And we need to make sure that we brand it a certain way.
You know, I think there's a few good ambassadors in the industry that... You know, we can't be pointing fingers at the industry. We physically need to actually indoctrinate some of the thinking back into the schooling system.
Absolutely.
Back into just speaking to kids and saying to them, listen, there's a way of doing this thing. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's quite icy and quite difficult to come in. I've watched kids come into our office, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm quite ruthless with them. But, but the idea is you have to be.
Yeah, right? absolutely.
But you go, and then in 1 week, they're like thinking differently.
Yeah.
You know? And they go...
Yeah, it's almost like you shock them into activity.
Completely.
Yeah.
But the idea of creativity is not about, oh my God, we're going to sit and paint some stuff.
Yeah.
The idea of creativity is joining dots, right?
That's right.
And changing people's minds, right?
That's right.
So you have such a powerful job to change society.
Yeah.
You got to...
Boom.
Boom, you can change. So that's the narrative.
Yeah.
The narrative is not, I'm going to be a creative.
Yeah. Right?
You're probably better than a journalist.
Yeah.
You're probably better than some, you know, some musicians.
Yeah.
Right? So you have the power
to
kind of convince and change.
Oh,
right?
Man.
So that's the narrative. Not like, guys, can I get into advertising?
Yeah.
Can I sell some shit?
Yeah. No, you know it's not that. It's not that. Because like you said, it's what all the creative industries kind of have a responsibility to do as well.
Yeah.
You know, and advertising needs to start seeing itself as such as well. And having that responsibility.
And that's it.
And changing the narrative of how we see it.
And even the word advertising.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
even my mom still doesn't know the design thing. She says you do ads,
like, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But that's a stigma we all
bring to,
right?
Yeah.
But the way creativity changes the world,
yeah,
like the companies like Google, Facebook, Airbnb are all creative companies.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
They weren't creative.
Yeah,
they're creating new economies. So you got to say to people, that's the creative industry.
Yeah,
you know, coding.
Yeah.
Learn coding.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Learn this. Exactly.
So learn all these things, and the young generation today, they've got, you know, I've got a daughter also, and she's got like 20 different ways of looking at the world.
Yeah.
Because her subject matter spans everything.
Right.
And I'm trying to pin her down to do something.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, I'm moving from that and doing that and that and that.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you kind of take that energy and you fuel it into something?
Absolutely. Yo. Nathan, we can sit like this all day, man. We can sit like this all day, because like all those things are things that I think, you know, we have to find a way to crystallize and make sure people understand in such a way that the way that you and I understand it. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like sometimes we just use the wrong language with these things, and just for people who are communicators, sometimes we're very shitty at communicating our own shit.
And the industry is very apologetic.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. Again, everyone like shies away from the true issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's not a black and white thing.
No. No.
It's actually collectively, there's smart leaders, black and white leaders in the communication industry. They need to take a stance on education.
Yeah.
They need to take a stance on programs that really kind of entrench youngsters into a new way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Because there's rich contents. If you look at the music industry has left us behind. Right?
Absolutely.
You know, and the fashion industry has left us behind.
Yeah.
Only because these guys are just infiltrating and we are being apologetic. You know,
I think
that's the problem. The idea, that's why our philosophy at Grid Again is like, you know, every day is a new day.
Yeah.
Every day we can take an idea from a 17-year-old to a poet or whatever, you know, but we open to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think keep your door open, you know, keep the smiles going.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's when people feel encouraged.
Yeah.
You got to encourage young talent. You got to tell them they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then kind of nurture them and push them in the right
place. Absolutely.
And then you see those little buds grow. And all you need is to create created 20 buds, you know, in a year.
And what, and then you've done well.
And you've done well. Yeah. You can say, I've done my job. You
know? Yeah, without a doubt. You know what, Nathan, like I said, you won't believe, right? Every week, like, the hour just flies by. Yeah. You know, I feel like we just sat down, man, because I feel like, you know, there's so much we can chat about. But now, very quickly, I need you to tell me, like, if you were to encapsulate what, like, you know, people like me coming to the launch tonight, like, what is it that we're going to experience when it comes to the launch?
You're going to start the whole thing basically of defining the thing. As you know, I don't know if you ever watched the YouTube thing about the pale blue dot.
Yes. Yes, so, I've seen that.
So, you know, I always go back to see that there, just to remind me about our significance as human beings.
Right.
Right. You go right back to look at that, and you kind of home in right into what you do.
Yeah.
Right? And you work out the significance of what your effect of what you're doing in the broader scheme of things.
That's right.
So, you know, we have a statement says, you know, make it mean something. Right? So everything we do as a brand, we believe in make it mean something.
Boom.
Okay? So I go, tell me something. How is that going to change from there to there? What are you doing? Because I don't want to put up pollution. Okay?
Yeah.
So, what we're going to show you tonight is, like, when we talk about gene culture, we talk about the value of everything that we could do, right?
Right.
So when you say a place like Marble, right? Yeah. And you don't go and say, oh, I like the lighting there.
Yeah.
Or I like that meat was amazing.
Yeah.
You say, I like everything about it.
Yeah.
Right? So the curation is like a symphony, right? You have the violinist, you have the cello, you have the sax, but they play music together, right? And gene culture is about playing music.
Boom.
Right?
And you walk
in there and you go, you know what? You guys have covered everything.
Yeah.
You know, but it's when you create something from nothing, right?
Yeah.
Is that you move the dial, right?
Absolutely.
So when nothing was there and something magical is there now, you've created with a lot of people, like a movie. When you watch a great movie, you don't see one person there.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people. Right? Yeah.
But that's what created a movie. Create billions of dollars to go and watch that movie.
Yeah.
But how many people were involved?
That's right.
It's an economy. You create stuff.
I love that.
So South African Africans have a power of creation.
I fucking love that.
So we can transform our nation by creating stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Spaces, places, okay? And that economy just kind of ripples, right? Because we have the know-how, we have the appetite.
Yeah.
Change. But we got a free will in terms of how to do it.
I love that. I love that so much. It sounds like it's going to be fucking amazing. I can't wait.
I'm also a bit nervous. We also have an exhibition.
Okay,
and
dope.
I think what's nice about the exhibition is we got one of the great photographers, Liesl. She'll be showing her work. She shot the entire office.
Okay, dope.
But the thing about what she did there was to bring out the characters in the people at the office.
Ah.
So the shots are not just pretty shots.
Yeah.
They're about the people. So our whole business is about culture, but culture is about people.
Excellent.
Right? So our whole thing will be about people.
Yeah.
Right? And each individual employee has been shot to bring out their personality.
That's so dope.
Right? And all the art will be sold, and we're adopting not a stereotyping.
Yeah.
We actually are with FNB. They got this ECD program where we believe that for the first 1,000 years, a child needs food, shelter, love, care. Yeah. Right? And we've adopted an Alexander
1,000 days, you mean?
So it's an amazing program. Yeah. They want to adopt 1 million kids.
Whoa.
And make sure that for 1,000 days, those kids, that's where education starts.
That's right.
For
that's the first right. 1,000 years. In those formative days.
The 4,000 years, the first 1,000 years, those kids need those things.
That's
right.
Dope.
And the shit we're having at Fees Must Fall now is because
can
those kids come
back there?
Right there.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to go back to the source of the thing, make sure we kind of ignite that thing, and then watch and track that happen.
That's
and
so
I think
good.
It's the dominoes effect. It's not about giving money.
Yeah.
It's about giving love. So you can go to a Christian, give a kid love. You can show attention. Just show coordination.
Absolutely.
So it's not about giving money. It's about giving time.
That is so dope. Fuck, I'm excited about it now. It's so dope. Nate. Cool. Fuck, man, that's so much. Cool. I'll understand, like, everyone is going to listen to this. People are going to come on and work with you now.
We have some limited spaces, but I'm willing to, you know, bestow any information about anything about career guidance and anything to anyone.
Where do people get hold of you?
You can get hold of me at gridworldwide.com.
Yeah.
Or you can use my Instagram as Nate Red. N-A-T R-E-D 69.
That's right.
And you know, yeah, that's
yeah.
It.
Just get hold of the man, guys. It's been another dope week. It's been another dope show. I mean, my inspiration cup is running over right now. I can't wait for tonight. I think it's going to be really, really dope.
Thank you, G-Man,
the Ad Man, hanging out with Mr. Nathan Reddy. Download the podcast. We didn't actually swear too much.
He told me not to swear.
So you can play it for your moms. You can play it around the studio. There's some important things that were said here today that I think a lot of people need to hear who might not have gotten a chance right now. But yeah, man, like I say every week, you know, it's been advertising is tough, guys. So take care of yourself. Take care of those briefs, and most importantly, take care of each other, because it gets really rough out there. But yeah, let's take care of that. And once again, it's another show, G Man the Ad Man. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boo! It's G Man the Ad Man.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.